We want to extend a Christian greeting to each and everyone here this morning. Happy New Year's to everyone. It's again a blessing to have crossed the threshold into another new year. As we think of entering into another new year, it was brought up in our Sunday school class about the year 2000. That just seems like a short time ago that we entered year 2000. Here it is 10 years later already, and God has been good to us. There's been, as we think back in 2009, we can look back and remember of things that took place, how we handled situations. We can even think of our mistakes that we made. But you know, we cannot retrace anything that a single moment of the year that is past. The opportunity that we have had is gone in the past year. It is done. So I think as we look forward into 2010, I think we do well to leave 2009 in the past, reflect in the past, and see where we can make changes, and then move on. And we can learn from things that happened in the past year. And I trust as we're here this morning, we're open to doing just that and seeing where we can make changes for the better for this coming year. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll be reading a few verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. Says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence he came out, where thou sowest thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heavens. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. The children of Israel's leader, Moses, was reminding them that they had seen every great act of the Lord which he did. In verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. And then in verse 12, it says that the eyes of the Lord are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We may sense a fear of the future because of some of the events that have happened in the past, but we don't need to remain chained to those events of the past, to the memories of the past, because we can move ahead focused on God. Just as the Lord watched over the land and his people, even today, so his eyes are upon us. God's faithful care will extend to every day of this new year that we're entering into. We can count on that promise. We're faced with new challenges. We're faced with new blessings. You might say new adventure. We don't know what the Lord has in store for us in 2010, but we have many promises in God's Word that He will be with us. The last part of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's nothing you will face this coming year that we, with God's help, can't overcome or can't handle. God will not take us anywhere where His grace cannot keep us. Jesus is the King of Kings. He knows everything before it even happens. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of this world. So why do we need to fear? He's the one that I want to commit my life to, because he knows my beginning to the end. Let's be strong and courageous. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua when Moses died? In Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God is faithful. God will not let us down. He will not fail you. If God seems removed from us, it's us that moved. We may forsake Him. We may fail Him, but He will not leave us. I think as we are here at the threshold, or just enter the threshold of 2010, I think it's a good time to reflect into the past. Take this time to evaluate how we did in this past year, to make changes where we need to make changes. As we think of a business, I think we sit down at the end of the year and we go through some numbers and see where we're at from where we were last year. Is the business profitable? Do we need to make any changes to the business? And I think that's the same way in our spiritual life. I think we need to take inventory of where we are with God and to make changes in order to come closer to Him, to have a stronger relationship with Him, a more intimate relationship with Him. I trust all of us here this morning, we want to continue growing in our spiritual life. We don't want to be sitting and just stagnating. We want to grow. In Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For us as Bible-believing Christians here this morning, it's an opportunity to look back over the past year and to make desired changes where we need to. We want to look at how we can enter the coming year with a profound sense of God's presence with us, which will give us the faith to face the many challenges that will come our way this coming year. I think the beginning of a new year is always a sense of anticipation for me. It's a sense of kind of an excitement to see what will God show me this year? What will He take us through? It can be a day of, or a time of new beginnings. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, the last part, even though our inward man is perishing, yet the inward man, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. God wants to create a sense of newness in each one of our lives on a daily basis. I believe it's God's desire that we are filled with a sense of newness and freshness of what He desires and wants to do in our lives. Are we being open to that? He desires that we be filled with a renewed sense of purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us here this morning for this year, 2010. I think this new year offers us a chance to look back and make changes, make things right, and start out with a slate clean. We know how a paper looks. If it's scribbled on one side and you turn it around, it's a clean sheet. And that's how our life can be. It is a time to set new goals and to make plans as to how you will meet those goals. I think that should be each of us as Christians' desire is to our goal should be to serve Christ every day. So what kind of goals and plans will you make in this new year as you seek to serve Christ and His kingdom in a greater way? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Scripture shows us that we should be continually growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire is that we would be conformed to His image in all areas of our lives. A few areas that I just want to look at briefly that I think we as Christians should have a vision and a goal for. Number one is our relationship with Jesus Christ. How is your relationship with Christ this morning? Has that deepened in the past year? Then also, those of you that are married, how has your marriage been in the past year? What is your goal for your marriage in the coming year? Also, family life and church life. I think we as Christians need to take a proactive approach to these areas, or we're going to lose out in these very important aspects of our lives. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I think without a vision and purpose in these areas, we will cast off all restraint and we'll be tossed to and fro, sowing to the wind, and we don't want to be doing that. So what do you see God doing in these areas of your life in this coming year? What kind of plans are you going to make to experience fulfillment and growth in Christ in these areas? I think a righteous man and woman will make plans to grow and mature in Christ in every area of his or her life. We need to take responsibility for this and be proactive about it. How much time are you spending with God? Are you finding a fulfillment in your devotional life? In your marriages, how are you making time for your spouse for your spouse? Are you taking the time to spend quality time with each other? I think it's important that we do make time for this in order to have a vibrant relationship. Especially the times that we're living in with the seemingly busy schedules that we have and the tight schedules, I think we need to say no sometimes to some things in order to allow time with our spouse. Something that has really blessed us already in my wife and I, we like to go on a date each week. Yes, we still date, and I like to call it that. But I think it's we like to do something together once a week. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be just several hours of spending time together, walking, going on a picnic, going out for some coffee. There's a number of things that you can do in order to spend some quality time with each other. But I've found if you don't make time for that, it will not happen. You have to make time for it. Also, about our family life, we need to make time to spend time together as a family, or it won't happen. There again, there's a lot of schedule conflicts sometimes with having youth, and there again, sometimes it means to say no to some things in order to spend the time together as a family as we would desire. Here again, we as a family, we are committed to doing something as a family once a week. And that can be a number of things as well. And we as a family have found a real blessing in doing that, in just spending time together. And then in church life, in taking time for each other, it might just mean having a listening ear to someone, being an encouragement to others through words, or simply laying your hand on someone's shoulder and letting them know you're praying for them. That is building each other up. That's what church life is about, is to be there for each other. And I think as we seek to do that, in all of this we want Christ to to be in the center of all this. I think we want to build lives for God and His kingdom, and not just build lives for ourselves. And I think as we look into 2010, I think that should be one of our goals, is to move forward and be of greater use for God and His kingdom. I think if our plans are Christ-centered and filtered through God's purpose, there will be fruit. So as we look at the aspect of our relationship with Christ, our marriages, our family life, church life, let's consecrate these areas to God and allow His purpose to come forth in each of these areas. In Luke 14, 28 through 30, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" I think as we sit down and count the cost, if we're building something, we want to make sure the funds are going to be there to do it. I think that's also how it works in our spiritual life. We need to sit down and we need to make some proactive approaches to our spiritual lives. I think planning is not an attempt to foretell the future. I think it is only an attempt to regulate and shape the future and to prepare and negotiate unforeseen circumstances. We don't know what our future holds. None of us does. But I think as we sit down and as we set goals and as we seek to meet them with God's help, I think it's very important, first of all, that we have a secure relationship with Jesus Christ. Without a secure relationship with Christ, it's going to be difficult to grow in a Christ-centered marriage and family life and church life and other areas as well. I think that is the core, that is the most important thing in this whole thing, is our relationship with Christ. And we also need to develop an overcoming mentality. In Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Again, just bringing out to reach forward to the things that are ahead of us and not be bogged down with our past. I think perseverance will do a lot for us. I think if we won't get ahead very far if we just give up. It does not lie in never failing, but it's in rising when we fail, when we fall, that we rise again. Trying to avoid failure is not practical because everybody is going to fail from time to time. So it's as we fail that we rise up again and try again. Proverbs 24:16, "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." I think as we fall, let's take courage and stand up and go at it again. We might not be quite at the place where we had wanted to be last year this time, but maybe we're still a little bit ahead in what we were last year. So let's not let failure get us down. We're all going to fail from time to time, but let's stand up again and move on. Another very important thing is there must be dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." In Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Then in 2 Corinthians 3:5, "Not that we are sufficient sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We are nothing of ourselves, but our sufficiency comes through God. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God desires to be with us in all that we do. He is there no matter what it may be. Whatever we're facing, you might be facing challenges that seem insurmountable, undertaking tasks that you're not sure you're able to do, or taking advantage of opportunities that come your way. And I appreciate the devotional very much this morning. Jeffrey just simply saying how he missed an opportunity, and there was times in my life already where that has happened to me too. So take hold of the opportunities that come your way. When you feel God prodding you, take hold of that opportunity and do it. God will be with you as you do that. In Isaiah 46:4, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He, will sustain you. I have made you and will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." In Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things." Take the time to look back over the past year and identify those times in which you had evidence of faith and overcoming doubt, sin, unbelief. Identify those times you saw yourself go from despair to courage with God's help in the midst of suffering or situations that seemed insurmountable. And as you look back and see how the hand of God was at work in your life, take the time to give thanks to Him for that, for what He did. Too often, I'm afraid, we pray to God and we want Him to help us with a situation, and then we forget to thank Him for it. Let's take the time to thank Him for the times that He helped us through situations. In Psalm 105:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." In Psalm 140:13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the upright shall dwell in your presence." So as you take time to meditate on these things and give thanks to God for the many blessings in your life, I think you can experience a fresh sense of His presence with you, preparing you for what's ahead in this coming year. In Psalm 51:6-8, "Behold, you desire truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." Taking inventory of ourself, looking at our relationship with God and with others, and your stewardship over all that God has given to you. I think we need to hold these areas alongside God's standards and see where we come in God's standards and pray to grow in faithfulness and holiness. Psalm 139:23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In Psalm 26:2-3, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." As you take the time to look inside your heart, you will sense great hope when you sense God's help, encouragement, and leading in overcoming the areas that you have failed in. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God, and you will experience a great refreshing from Him. I think it's important that we look to Jesus to help us through these areas, even in evaluating our past experiences, our past life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Since Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, this also means that he is at work in our lives to those that are walking with him. As we face and are challenged with temptations, problems, difficulties, sorrows, various tasks and opportunities that will come our way this coming year, we need to stay focused on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He will be there to help us through whatever circumstances that we may encounter. In Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. As we endeavor to stay focused on Jesus, we will encounter his presence, which will give you that extra added dimension of faith to help you to boldly move forward in every area of your life. And also, let's remember that of ourselves, we're nothing. Our sufficiency comes from God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens you daily. I think we also need to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus and serve them with love and compassion. Getting involved in the Lord's harvest of souls keeps you in the presence of God. And as we look around us in the community here, in Stewart's Draft, in our neighboring towns, I think we need to look at those people through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of Jesus. How does Jesus look at those people? And may we have a heart of compassion and love for them. Being willing to share what God has done for you to them, that they also can experience repentance. They also can experience peace and joy. In Matthew 9:36-38, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. May we be people that are willing to go out and work in the harvest field. As we think of this coming year and that God is with us, I think we can look at each new day with keen anticipation. Faith calls us to move into this new year, to face the challenges, to undertake the tasks that God is setting before us, and dedicate ourselves to the opportunities that this year will present. We can go forth with confidence, knowing that God is at work in us and we are his children who will be led by him from day to day as we go through this journey of life. In Acts 13:43, we'll turn to that just briefly. I want to look at a word this morning that I think is very important as we think of our Christian life and going into the new year, is continue. And I've entitled the message simply continue. Acts 13, verse 43. It says, and when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Paul and Barnabas went to the synagogue in Antioch here preaching, and some of the hearers responded well to the message and wanted to hear more. Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. To continue means to be faithful, not to turn back, to not give up. Several Webster dictionary definitions is to go on in a specified course of action, to persist, to endure, to go on or extend, stretch. Has it ever been a stretch for you to continue in a situation that you found yourself in? A marriage will not survive unless both parties continue working together, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Our society is breaking down because of that very thing, because people won't continue. And we know that divorce is rampant because somebody leaves a marriage just because it seems easier to leave than work through the problems, through the challenges. No runner wins a race without continuing. No student completes a class without continuing. It takes a continuing. And Paul was telling these people here to continue in the grace of God. It's one thing to begin right. It's another thing to end right. It's one thing to begin in the grace of God. It's another thing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and continue in His grace. The day that we were born again, we encountered the amazing grace of God. We experienced that. We experienced that grace that He has for everyone that comes to Him. He gave Himself to us freely. We had nothing to bring Him but our need and our brokenness, and that's what he wants from us this morning. And as a free gift to us, He forgave us our sins, and He granted eternal life. We initially received the life of Jesus as a gift, and in the same way, we draw upon that life daily. We're dependent upon God for that, for every bit of it. We are to live in continued dependence upon the divine flow of God's life. We begin in grace and we continue to grow in grace. The supply of strength continue comes from God on a daily basis. God does not dump a truckload of strength on us one day a month. Get back to me next month. No, He doesn't do that. He gives us grace for the immediate second, for the immediate minute. Like the manna in the wilderness, He gives us what we need for each day. And sometimes we as humans maybe struggle with that daily dependence issue. We want to know in advance what we can do and what we can't do, what we're able to do. But God promised us He'll be with us and give us the strength for the time, for that very task. He wants us to talk with Him about our needs on a daily basis and then thank Him for His provision. We have that promise that if we pray to Him, ask, and it shall be given us. Continue in the grace of God. In John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continuing. If ye continue in my word. In John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. In 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 11, Paul talks about his continued dependence upon the grace of God. I think it's important that we continue with God. Paul's life got so difficult that he despaired even of life itself. He didn't know whether he was going to make it or not. He was troubled on every side, burdened beyond measure. This happened while Paul was serving God with everything that he had. And here Paul was in a spiritual battle, and he found himself right in the middle of it. Do we find ourselves sometimes in a real battle, and what are we going to do with it? God wants us to trust in Him. He doesn't want us to trust in ourselves, but in Him. When we're operating in grace, we are trusting the Lord. We are trusting Him to get us through, just as Paul did. Paul found himself in several situations where it was life-threatening. But Paul's God is the same God we serve today. And He will help us through. The problems that we face can never be too difficult for Him to solve. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving in Colossians 4:2. Even if the answer does not seem to come through right away, sometimes God has some suddenlies in store for us. Sometimes it happens faster than what we maybe anticipated it to. But He has blessings in store for those that continue as Paul did, as Paul continued. Hope is an essential part for our continuance. The devil's also busy. He is telling us that there's no hope. It's impossible to live for God. It's impossible to go through this thing that I'm going through and come out victorious. It's hopeless. The devil will show you that you can't change something that you want to improve in. O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. In Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The NIV emphasizes hope in its translation of Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, that familiar scripture. I'll read it, the NIV. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The Hebrew word there translated wait in the King James Version means to wait with an expectation. We need to keep our expecting. It is to those who hope in the Lord whose strength is renewed. So let's hope and let's wait on God. Continue to serve the Lord. I think the first century Christians were human just like we are. And they did grow weary in well-doing at times. We can read in Galatians 6, 9 through 10, when Paul wrote that, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Continuing to do good, to keep advancing the kingdom of God, no matter what obstacles we may encounter. Paul continued to serve God even when he didn't feel like it, when he felt weary. Jesus continued to obey the Father, even as he prayed in the garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. the story of Nehemiah when he heard the walls of Jerusalem, that they were in a rubble. He set out to do something about it. He poured himself into a project that others mocked and resisted. Sanballat, you know, the commander of the Samaritan army, resisted their efforts to build. And how Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him and said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." It was part of God's plan. Nehemiah did not back down just because of their opposition. He continued on with that project. Nehemiah continued in his service to the Lord. And then we also have the story of Gideon, how Gideon continued. We know how God brought his army down from 32,000 to 300 men. Only 300 men is what Gideon had, facing several hundred thousand. And those 300 men put them to flight. Gideon and his men were exhausted from the battle, but they kept continuing on, chasing the enemy. In Judges 8:4, "And Gideon came to Jordan, passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Faint, yet they kept pursuing them." Exhausted, but they were still in pursuit. Have you ever been in a situation where every fiber of your being is screaming, I want to give up, I want to give up. But you don't, because you know there is too much at stake to stop now. Continuing on. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Continuing even if we don't feel like it. Continuing even if it only feels like we're plodding along. Be faithful to what the Lord has told you to do. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. I think faithfulness is central to us as Christians. We need to be faithful to God. As we look at in the business world, if an employee is not faithful in what he's called to do, will he be given another position? Probably not. Can God give you an assignment and know that you will not abandon it until that assignment is done? Even if it gets hard, faithfulness is a key to your spiritual advancement. I think we all want to grow, but we need to, in order to do that, we need to be faithful to what He has given us, to what He is calling us to. Jesus said, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Are you passing your test of faithfulness in this? I think sometimes God orchestrates circumstances primarily to give people choice. Why does God allow trials and temptations in your life? What are you going to do with it? What choice are you going to make? Is that going to draw you closer to God, or is it going to take you further away? It's bringing you to a decision. Will you serve God out of love toward Him, even when it seems to cost you to do so? The gospel calls us to love the Lord, regardless of the cost, with all our hearts, with everything that we have in us. Does God bless those who faithfully serve Him? Yes, He does. And I can testify to that. I think the primary mode of our service should be love. Love is the opposite of selfishness. Love is motivated by the desires and needs of the other. Do we have a true love for each other? Do we really know what that means? The Bible talks about a great falling away that will occur in the last days. people will simply decide Jesus is not worth following. Some who have put their hand to the plow will look back and turn back. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the hardship of his followers, the Christians that will experience in the last days. In verse 12, he says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the law of many will grow cold." But in 13, he says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." The genuineness of each of our salvation is evidenced by the fact that we continue on in the faith. God is looking for people who are committed to Him, who are committed to continuing on with Him. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So as we look ahead into 2010, as we look into this new year, let's look back in the past year. Let's reflect on where we can make changes, make improvement, but then let's look ahead and not turn back. Let's keep our focus on Christ. Focus, focus, focus. I think as we do that, and as we continue to serve Him, we will be able to finish that race. We are all in this race together. And as we are in this together, let's help each other win this race. And let's finish this race well with God's help. In Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And that will be my prayer for each one of us here this morning. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father in heaven, as we pause before you just now, we just want to thank you for being with us. Thank you for this opportunity of looking into your word this morning. We just ask your blessing over each one that is present here this morning, Father. May you give us a desire, give us a hunger and a thirst for you, that we may continue in the faith, regardless of what comes our way, that we can stand up to the task and follow through with it with your guidance and direction, with your help. We know that without you, we can do nothing. Our sufficiency is from you, and we recognize that this morning. So we just want to commit our lives unto you, Father. May you just lead, guide, and direct each one of us as we seek to serve you. And we just want to thank you for the many blessings that you have blessed us with in the past year. And it's with anticipation that we look ahead into this coming year, that you will be with your people and that you will lead and guide us through. So just continue to go with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.